The Later Elmshaven Years, 1905 to 1915, Volume 6, Chapter 30. 1914 Ellen White's 87th Year. As Ellen White on New Year's morning stepped over to the bay window in her writing room, she could see almost a sea of turbulent water inundating the little orchard between her home and Blackman's Canyon Creek, over against Glass Mountain, so named for its exposed obsidian deposits. The big storm with its downpour of rain brought a partial paralysis over the little valley. Iram James, her farmer, reported that a fallen tree over the creek a bit upstream had diverted the flow across the pasture, cutting a deep ditch that called for immediate repair. WCW to CCC, January 8, 1914. The opening of the new year, the last full calendar year of Ellen White's life, was marked with an added convenience for Elmshaven Electricity. Just the year before, a beginning had been made in the use of steam and heating, and during the year her grandsons had secured their automobile. Now the long-awaited convenience, electricity, had reached the Pratt Valley. Early in her long life, Ellen White had used candles and whale oil lamps to write by and to move about at night. A decade after her marriage came kerosene lamps and lanterns, and she would carry the kerosene lamp in the early hours of the morning as she entered her writing room at Elmshaven to begin her day's work. Advantage had been taken of the development of efficient oil lamps, and several of the much-used rooms boasted of angle lamps. Two or three wick burners, with their glass shades projecting from a nickel-plated central oil reservoir, hung from the ceiling, gave a much-appreciated combined light. Now, as Ellen White and members of the family moved from room to room, just a turn of the switch unleashed a glow of light filling the whole room. How wonderful it was! The workers in the office were very appreciative, as their tasks often called for evening work. There was another occasion for special happiness in the office family. During the holiday season, Clarence Chrysler and Minnie Hawkins were united in marriage and now would work more closely than ever as they labored to get the spirit of prophecy messages into the field for the benefit of the whole church. They were honeymooning in Southern California when the storm and flood hit and did not seem to object to the extra week that was theirs because of adverse travel conditions in the Napa Valley. Steady but sometimes seemingly slow progress was made in literary tasks, Old Testament history, gospel workers, and the incessant demand for E.G. White articles for the Review and Signs of the Times. W.C. was much away from home during the year, and while it slowed the work in the office and left considerable loneliness, it had its benefits in the frequent reports to him from his wife, May, and C.C. Chrysler, reports of considerable significance to us who are interested in Ellen White's state of both physical and mental health through her 87th year. To keep White posted, Chrysler wrote to him every day or two, often from notes he had taken during his visits. It is mainly on these letters that this chapter is based, the running account often being in Chrysler's words, even though not always credited. On March 18th, the prune orchards were budding once again. Ellen White was in good health and good spirits, and when the weather was favorable was still taking her regular daily carriage rides on the familiar roads and in the cherished lanes about Elmshaven. The next day Chrysler reported to W.C. White of his conversations with Ellen White and of her outlook. As it was that day, so it pervaded the last months of her life. Here is his statement: "Last night Sister White assured me that her faith in God and her confidence in the Advent movement have been greatly strengthened of late by the excellent reports of success attending the labors of our ministers and workers. She declares that she has never doubted the providential leadership of God in connection with our denominational history, but that her confidence does grow stronger as the evidences of divine leadership multiply." CCC to WCW, March 19, 1914. On April 1, Chrysler wrote of Elmshaven as spring came. "Your mother has been able to read considerable since her eye was bad, and today she was able to have a good ride, the first in 4 days, one day being Sabbath, and the other day stormy. We have had an excellent rain, just what we have been needing. Now the gardens, the orchards, and the farm crops will have a good chance." CCC to WCW, April 1, 1914. The question of another prophet that same day, several visitors called, Brethren B. G. Wilkinson, M. N. Campbell, and O. Montgomery. Ellen White spent some time with them. The men were very glad for the opportunity to talk with her, Ibid. When Elder Campbell asked her if she had any light as to whether she would live till Jesus returned, she replied that she had no light on the matter. When he expressed his concern as to the welfare of the cause in her absence, she quietly replied, "The Lord is perfectly able to take care of his cause." He then asked whether in the event she was called to her rest, another would be raised up to take her place. Several of her books were lying on the writing table attached to her chair. Campbell reports that she spread her hands over them, and said that in those books was outlined the information needed by our people for the rest of the journey. She chose to go no further in comment regarding a possible successor. DF-108, M. N. Campbell, report of an interview with Sister White, February 3, 1943.
On several occasions, by stating that she did not expect to live long, she opened the way for similar questions to be put to her by visiting brethren. Responding, she would step over to the book cabinet in her writing room, open the doors where her books and manuscripts could be seen, and declare, "Here are my writings, when I am gone they will testify for me." WCW Letter, July 9, 1922, MR, page 93. The visit from James Edson White in mid-April, Edson, who now resided in Marshall, Michigan, came west for a month-long visit. It was a happy occasion for both mother and son, who had been separated so much for 25 or more years. They had good visits together, and went over many things of mutual interest. It was observed that Ellen White did not always recall the details of early experiences or those of more recent years, but this was to be expected of one who had reached her age. Of Edson's visit, W.C. White reported to Elder Daniels that Mother enjoyed his visit very much, and Edson seemed to be much encouraged and blessed while here.
He returns east with a much brighter view of the work we are doing. WCW to AGD, May 18, 1914.
The workers at Elmshaven were well aware that many eyes were turned their way. People were watching with interest Ellen White's experience in what all felt sure would be the closing months of her life. Her associates saw no occasion to withhold information regarding her declining state of health. Near the close of this, her last full year of life, W.C. White wrote to his brother Edson, "Regarding mother's health, there is nothing but what I tell freely in my letters, and speak of privately, and publicly." WCW to J.E. White, December 15, 1914. A slight stroke in early summer as he reported on a slight stroke soon after Edson's visit, W.C. White said, "There is no reason why we should conceal the facts from anyone. For years we have expected that mother's work would end in some form of paralysis, and the wonder is that it did not come long ago, Ibid." As to the stroke referred to, White wrote, "Shortly after your visit, she had trouble with her right hand for 2 weeks, and with her right foot for a week, and with her whole right side for a day or two. We called Dr. Klingerman, and he gave her a very faithful examination. He said she had had a very light stroke, and that its effect would be only temporary. Then he told May Walling and Sarah what to add to the regular treatment, and said he thought he need not call again. After 4 or 5 days, Mother was writing out every day as before, but it was nearly 4 weeks before she cared to read the review or anything in the books and manuscripts with which she is surrounded. When we had manuscripts that needed her attention, we waited till she was feeling well, and of good courage, Ibid. But given a little time for recovery, Ellen White was able to give attention to the book work again. As chapters were brought to her, her son reported that she read some, and asked us to read them to her. Sometimes I would read 2 or 3 pages, and then she would read 1 or 2 pages. Sometimes I or Chrysler do all the reading, and Mother comments on what we have read." Ibid. Ellen White writes a comforting letter her last. On Sunday, June 14, Ellen White wrote a 5-page letter to a woman who was troubled by anxiety. The optimistic and confident line of thought that filled her mind quite largely through the year was readily expressed in this message. It opens with the words, "My dear sister, the Lord has given me a message for you, and not for you only, but also for other faithful souls who are troubled by doubts and fears regarding their acceptance by the Lord Jesus Christ. His word to you is, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. You desire to please the Lord, and you can do this by believing his promises. He is waiting to take you into a harbor of gracious experience, and he bids you, be still, and know that I am God. You have had a time of unrest, but Jesus says to you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The joy of Christ in the soul is worth everything. Then are they glad, because they are privileged to rest in the arms of everlasting love. Put away your distrust of our Heavenly Father. Instead of talking of your doubts, break away from them in the strength of Jesus, and let light shine into your soul by letting your voice express confidence and trust in God. I know that the Lord is very nigh to give you victory, and I say unto you, be helped, be strengthened, be lifted out of and away from the dark dungeon of unbelief." She wrote of God's waiting to bestow the blessing of forgiveness, the gifts of righteousness, and of her privilege to trust in the love of Jesus. She asked a pertinent question, "Is Jesus true? Does he mean what he says?" Answer decidedly, "Yes, every word." "Then if you have settled this, by faith claim every promise that he has made, and receive the blessing, for this acceptance by faith gives life to the soul." As she endeavored to give courage and hope to the disheartened sister, she declared, "I rejoice in the bright prospects of the future, and so may you. Be cheerful, and praise the Lord for his loving kindness." Ellen White closed the letter with these words, "Respond to the calls of God's mercy, my sister, and say, I will trust in the Lord and be comforted. I will praise the Lord, for his anger is turned away. I will rejoice in God, who gives me the victory." Letter 2, 1914. The entire letter constitutes the closing chapter of Testimonies to Ministers, one of the first compilations published after Ellen White's death. Reading and approving chapters and articles, her principal contributions to literary work in this her 87th year was on her books as she read and approved chapters and at times added a bit here or there. Through June, it seemed to those about Ellen White that she was somewhat less steady on her feet, CCC to WCW, June 26, 1914, and her endurance was waning. Though she did have lapses of memory and loss of orientation at times, her grasp of spiritual subjects never faltered, WCW to CCC, August 3, 1914. The summer heat was trying to Ellen White, and on especially hot days she was persuaded to leave her writing room and work downstairs, where it was cooler, CCC to WCW, June 29, 1914. On July 13, W.C. White reported to her longtime friend and associate in the work, S.E.N. Haskell. "Mother is getting along very well health-wise this summer. Sometimes she feels that her work is nearly done. A few days ago we had a very precious season of prayer together after she had told me how she felt that her work was nearly done, and that she was perfectly at rest, desiring to live or die, as might be best pleasing to God. She has no fears regarding the future, either for herself or for the Church of God. She knows there are perilous times before us, but she realizes that we may have the keeping power of the Almighty." As he called on his mother on Monday, August 3, she seemed quite strong and asked whether there was anything needing her attention. He told her of a manuscript Chrysler had compiled on the value of organization, which they wished her to examine. They read it together, and she gave valuable counsel, sounding some cautions, WCW to CCC, August 3, 1914. Then Ellen White's health took a marked turn for the better, allowing for considerable manuscript work through the month of August. On some days she was able to go over two chapters for the book in preparation on Old Testament history, WCW to S.N. Haskell, September 3, 1914. On October 4, W.C. White left home for an extended trip to the South and the East. Chrysler wrote almost daily reports, giving a very detailed account of her activities and state of health.
On Thursday evening, October 8, Chrysler, who was working in his office in the tank house not far from the home, wrote, "I can hear Sister White praying as I write. She is holding evening worship with the girls. She seems of good cheer today. During the day she had asked where Willie was, and when she was told that he had gone east to attend council meetings in Nashville and Washington, she did not seem to realize fully just where he was. Some things, remarked Chrysler, were remarkably clear to her, and other things are indistinct or forgotten, CCC to WCW, October 8, 1914. On the next Friday, October 16, Ellen White spent some time looking over Elder Haskell's new book, The Cross and Its Shadow, a book devoted to the sanctuary truth. He had mailed to her the very first copy from the press. She expressed her pleasure that he had been spared so long and was able to publish the book. She and Chrysler prayed together afterward, and she prayed especially for the General Conference brethren and for the men at Madison. CCC to WCW, October 16, 1914. Chrysler was in the home again on Monday evening, October 19, and found her sitting by the fireplace, enjoying its warmth. "She finds," he remarked, "great comfort in this, morning and evenings, especially, I think, toward evening." And he noted that he thought that her confidence in her brethren and their desire to do the right thing was one of the sweetest and most cheering features of Sister White's closing days of labor, CCC to WCW, October 20, 1914. On that evening he went to talk with her about the World War and the difficulty some of the European Adventists were having because of draft laws. In reporting her reactions, he said, "I can gather but little from Sister White as to the attitude we should take, further than the counsel she has given more than once in this connection, namely, that God is not pleased to have his children act presumptuously when brought into strait places, and further, that when our brethren are brought into trial, they will be given wisdom from on high Ibid." A week later, October 25, it was Doris Robinson who called to have a little visit with Sister White. The same day he reported to W.C. White her closing words in their visit. "The Lord is good to me. He gives me strength. I am so thankful that I do not have a crushing burden to bear, and that it is my privilege to rise above discouragement. And if it is my privilege to rise, it is the privilege of every Christian. I have had a great deal to contend with, but I thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. I will praise him, he is my keeper and my conqueror." 2 days later, on Tuesday, Chrysler visited with Ellen White. He found her cheerful and very happy, and free from pain. Her hearty amens as he prayed for the leaders of the church impressed him deeply, and he commented in words worth cherishing, "As I have often expressed to you before, I regard this attitude of confidence in her brethren as one of the sweetest of Sister White's old age experiences.
The many revelations of weaknesses and failures in years past have not caused her to become suspicious or censorious, CCC to WCW, October 27, 1914. The next day, Chrysler found Ellen White had been reading The Great Controversy. She rejoiced over the plain revelations of truth set forth in the book. Her mind was remarkably clear, a blessing that caused her to rejoice, CCC to WCW, October 28, 1914. With the days growing shorter and with winter approaching, the steam heat was turned on, keeping the whole house comfortable, but mornings and evenings Ellen White still enjoyed sitting by the fireplace, CCC to WCW, October 30, 1914. On Sunday, November 1st, she listened to some letters from William, and then she and Chrysler together went over 8 pages of manuscript for the Old Testament history. Chrysler was struggling with the task of finding adequate material to fill out the 6 remaining chapters. They talked about the manuscript and discussed some of Jeremiah's prophecies. He hoped that the next evening she would be able to hear and approve another chapter, CCC to WCW, November 1, 1914. On Thursday, November 5th, as he reported to W.C. White, he gave quite an extended description of the work on the book. He hoped soon to be able to present to her the second chapter on Jeremiah. That would leave only 4 to be completed, one more on Jeremiah, one on the Restoration, one on Malachi, and one on Messianic prophecy. He wrote, "The Jeremiah portion will not have the strength of the Isaiah portion, but I am hoping that it will be clear and instructive. It would be made very strong if we had more material and more help from Sister White, but, working as we are, with material from Volume 4 of Testimonies for the Church as the basis for the story, we cannot rise to the heights attained in the Isaiah portion, CCC to WCW, November 5, 1914. Sabbath evening, November 7, the Chryslers joined the family for worship. He read a letter written by Elder Guy Dale, Secretary of the European Division, in which he inquired about enforced military service. Reporting on this, Chrysler wrote, "She takes no position, either way, as regards the enforced military service, but seems to understand fully, and she admits that the brethren are placed in a straight place, CCC to WCW, November 7, 1914. One evening in early November, W.C. White's wife, May, called at Elmshaven, bringing with her 14-year-old Grace and baby Francis, who performed very well for his grandma, walking nearly across the room while she looked on approvingly. A visit on November 10th from Elder E.E. Andros, president of the Pacific Union Conference, cheered her heart. She rejoiced especially as he brought an encouraging report of the recent autumn council held in Washington. She was so glad to hear his testimony concerning the harmony that prevailed among the brethren at the head of the work, and several times after the visit expressed her pleasure and satisfaction in the evidences of God's leadership of his people. The thought of advance moves by the church brought courage and words of thanks to God, CCC to WCW, December 23, 1914.
And so it went from day to day.
On Friday, November 20th, Chrysler found Ellen White quite clear-minded and was able to read to her a few pages of manuscript for the Old Testament book. Then again on Sunday she was able to listen to a half dozen pages, CCC to WCW, November 22, 1914. In an endeavor to bring W.C. White up to date on his mother's condition, Chrysler talked with May Walling. He reported, "Miss Walling tells me that your mother spends a good deal of time, nights, in prayer, evidently mostly in her sleep. Sometimes she seems to be holding prayer meetings. The other night she preached for an hour, and as she was using her voice in full strength, Miss Walling at last thought to suggest that she had preached long enough, and that now she should rest and sleep, which she did ibid. But what amazed Chrysler, and others close to her, was that, when we touch spiritual topics, the mind seems to be lifted above confusion. When a scripture is partially quoted, she very often finishes it. I have tried this over and over again, especially when repeating the promises. And the Jeremiah and other Old Testament scriptures seem very familiar to her, and she catches them up and comments on them, and goes forward with the quotations, as of old. I regard this as a special providence in our favor just now, ibid. Her 87th birthday on Thanksgiving Day, November 26th, Ellen White reached her 87th birthday. She was not very strong, and Chrysler could go over only 3 pages with her. She was the recipient of one birthday present, which some days before had come from Mrs. F. H. Deviney, who was working with her husband in Japan. It was a warm knitted vest to be worn on cold days, known as a hug-me-tight. When Ellen White tried it on, she showed that she had not lost her sense of humor. She told Doris Robinson to thank Sister Deviney for the gift, but to tell her that there is a great deal more to Sister White than some people thought. D.E. Robinson to WCW, November 3, 1914. The week following her birthday, Ellen White's mind seemed quite clear, and she and Chrysler worked together on Old Testament history chapters from day to day. On Wednesday, she became reminiscent, something now quite unusual, Chrysler reported. She tried to recall the name of some brother of long ago who expressed discouragement over the prospect of a very large work that would need to be done before the world had been warned, and she says another brother, one of large faith, turned to him, and his face went white, and with strong emotion, he said, "My brother, would you permit such a prospect to bring discouragement? Do you not know that God would have us press the battle to the gate? Do you know He would have us labor on, and on, and on, knowing that victory lies ahead?" CCC to WCW, December 2, 1914. And then Ellen White commented on her continual sense of the uplifting presence of the Spirit of God. She says she would not speak discouragingly, and yet she would not wish to convey the impression that no disappointments come to her. "We are to expect the enemy to bring us disappointments, but these need never bring discouragement. When disappointed, we are to labor on until triumph comes, and this is working by faith." IBID. It was a good week for book preparation, with Ellen White spending some time each day working with Chrysler. She made frequent comments and some helpful suggestions, CCC to WCW, November 30 and December 2, 1914. Review and Signs articles. Of course, a part of the overall literary program at Elmshaven in which Ellen White participated was the furnishing of articles almost every week for publication in the Review and Herald and Signs of the Times. The staff was heartened by a letter written by W.C. White from Nashville, Tennessee, reporting that as his travels took him from place to place, "People speak to me regarding the present series of review articles, and some have expressed great satisfaction because in these articles questions that were seriously troubling them have been clearly answered." WCW to CCC, December 1, 1914. 40 E.G. White articles were published in the Review in 1914. First was a series on Old Testament history, being portions of the book manuscript in preparation, then 12 articles on early councils on medical work, followed by 18 on more general topics. White reported that the editor of the Review was calling for more on Old Testament history, IBID. Less work had been called for at Elmshaven in keeping the signs supplied, for the 50 articles appearing in that journal during 1914 were materials selected from The Desire of Ages, The Acts of the Apostles, and The Ministry of Healing. Advance. 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 Ever alert to what is required of a Christian, Ellen White sensed the importance of a positive attitude. Chrysler wrote of this to W.C. White the evening of December 2. She says she does not wish to make any great noise about having courage continually, although she has, and she adds that the very fact that members of the household are waked up at times hearing her repeating the promises of God and claiming them as her own is proof that she still has battles of her own to fight against Satan. "The enemy is still in the land of the living, and we must needs plead the promises, but we may have strong faith in God's power to deliver, and our hearts may be filled with courage." The next day, as Chrysler went over another chapter for the Old Testament history, Ellen White told him of a recent experience. Here is how he reported it. Sister White says that during the night season she hears voices saying, "Advance. Advance. Advance. Press the battle to the gate." CCC to WCW, December 3, 1914. Chrysler commented, "She seems to apply this to the completion of the work of the Lord in all parts of the earth, also to the completion of important bookwork. I believe the Lord would have us all take courage and press forward steadily." IBID. A few days later he wrote of the words spoken by Sister White that kept ringing in his ears, "Advance, advance, advance." This was also true of others who learned of the experience, CCC to WCW, December 8, 1914. On Monday, December 14, Chrysler reported to W.C. White that Ellen White's day-to-day condition remained about the same. "He tried to visit her," he wrote, "as often as she is able to consider matters with zest, which was, as a rule, sometimes once, sometimes twice, daily. He had skipped days, but he said such was exceptional. On this particular day and the day before, he went over the Daniel portion anew with Sister White. She seemed to enjoy rehearsing the Daniel story, the reading of which revived old memories on her part." The visit gave Chrysler an opportunity to do additional work on the manuscript, CCC to WCW, December 14 and 17, 1914. Mid-December seemed to mark an encouraging rallying point in Ellen White's physical condition, and for several weeks she was able to give more attention than usual to the literary tasks. On one Sabbath afternoon, Chrysler called to see her, and of the visit reported, "We had a good visit, and by the time we were through, it was about the close of Sabbath, so we had worship. She united with us in the prayer service, and had freedom. Your folks came in to see your mother just as we were closing worship," CCC to WCW, December 20, 1914. Chrysler also reported on his Sunday visit to the Elmshaven home. "This afternoon, when I went into the sitting room to see your mother, I found her reading the review. She was much interested in the various articles and reports, and afterward in the course of our conversation she said she believes that God is blessing our writers and others who write for our periodicals. She feels also that the Lord will continue to work through these writers, if they do their part in taking a living interest in the advancement of the work, and labor earnestly to strengthen the faith of all in the Advent movement. The Lord will take a special interest," she declared, "in those who do His work in such a way as to bring glory to His name." Ibid. Simplicity of faith and confidence. Chrysler could not refrain from mentioning again Ellen White's optimism, confidence, and simplicity of faith. "It is in her hours of greatest physical weakness that your mother seems to rise to the highest spiritual heights, and yet in all this she simply does what any of us poor mortals can do, lays hold on the divine promises, and makes them her very own, and praises God for the comfort they yield. Thus her heart is filled to overflowing with joy, and she has perfect peace. The simplicity of her faith has made a profound impression upon my own mind, and constitutes one of the strongest evidences that during the years of her service for her master she has lived with a conscience void of offense toward God and man. When one keeps full faith with himself in his service for God, his efforts will bear the test of time, and will yield a rich fruitage. Another thing that has impressed me much is the constancy of your mother's courage and of her confidence in God. You will recall how Miss Marion Davis, with all her rich experience in the things of God, and her desire that we pray with and for her and recount the providences connected with her work, was nevertheless at times inclined to despondency, though finally she rose above this, and died triumphant. It was thus even with your father, as you well know. But not so with your mother. I do not find her discouraged over her own case, nor do I find her discouraged over the general outlook throughout the harvest field where her brethren are laboring. She seems to have strong faith in God's power to overrule, and to bring to pass His eternal purpose through the efforts of those whom He has called to act a part in His great work. She rises above petty criticism, above even the past failures of those who have been reproved, and expresses the conviction, born, apparently, of an innate faith in the Church of the Living God, that her brethren will remain faithful to the cause they have espoused, and that the Lord will continue with them to the end, and grant them complete victory over every device of the enemy. Faith in God's power to sustain her through the many weaknesses attendant on old age, faith in the precious promises of God's word, faith in her brethren who bear the burden of the work, faith in the final triumph of the third angel's message. This is the full faith your mother seems to enjoy every day and every hour. This is the faith that fills her heart with joy and peace, even when suffering great physical weakness, and unable to make progress in literary lines. A faith such as this would inspire anyone who could witness it. CCC to WCW, December 23, 1914. The report to Elder Haskell. Clarence Chrysler had occasion to write to Elder S. N. Haskell on Thursday, December 24, and had something to say about the subject in which so many were interested, Ellen White's state of health. "On some days," he said, "she is stronger than on others, but she is not so strong now as when you were last with us." Chrysler told Haskell that she gives consideration to some questions connected with the advancement of the general work, and goes over with them the manuscripts being prepared from her writings for publication. He observed that she is more often brain-weary, and when weary, she is forgetful, and forgets details. But she was in possession of remarkably clear concepts of religious and spiritual matters. He wrote, "Her mind seems to keep unusually clear on scriptural subjects and especially on the precious promises of the Word, and so her meditations are sweet, and she has comfort and joy through the consolation the Bible affords every Christian." At other times, Chrysler went on to say, she has much to say of former times, and becomes reminiscent concerning her associates of years gone by, and then she seems much as when you were with us. Chrysler went on. There are many times, too, when her mind is fruitful on Bible themes, and we are endeavoring to take advantage of such times, and to present before her for her careful consideration that which must receive her personal attention prior to publication in book or article form. Were it not for the special interposition of God in her behalf, I doubt not but that she would find difficulty in keeping up this line of work, but with heaven's blessings we have found it possible to advance slowly yet surely. Every advanced step taken in the finishing of manuscript work brings to her real delight, and she rejoices in the privilege of being permitted still to use her talents in binding about the edges, as she says, and in rounding out her work in proper form, that the well done may be spoken of her when she rests from her labors. One of the last reports of the year yields a picture of Ellen White comfortable as usual, sitting by the open fireplace and visiting with household members of those who may come in to see her, CCC to WCW, December 28, 1914. And on this day, Chrysler and Ellen White read over another of the Nehemiah chapters.